In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It has been a busy few weeks for most of us in our lives and in the life of the church. Most of us have celebrated Christmas, ate too much food, gone to parties, and seen many different family and friends. Many of us this Christmas season have had a busy few weeks. If you had a busy few weeks, I have good news for you here at the Ascension, as today we're celebrating the Feast of the Epiphany, which means for many of us that life will return to normal in the next few days and in the church as well. We will move into the season of Epiphany, to the end of Christmas, and all the celebrations and traditions that we have to mark this season. Since Epiphany is the last major feast of the Christmas season, it is a good time to take stock of what has happened over the past few weeks and to reflect on what it all means. After all, Epiphany is the day in which the Christ child and the gospel message are made apparent to us. It brings us to a better understanding of who Christ is and what he has come to do and what Christmas is really all about. Epiphany is the day that we mark the incarnation, that great mystery of God taking on flesh and coming to earth, being born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is the day that this mystery, Christ's identity, becomes clear for the whole world and all its people, both Jews and Gentiles. Epiphany is the day where the scripture and the tradition of the church makes clear that that baby lying in the manger is God incarnate and that he came to save all peoples. It is the day that it is made clear that God has become a human being in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is no coincidence that the feast is called the Epiphany here in the Western Church, for the meaning of Epiphany is a striking or sudden realization. In the church, to take a moment after all the feasts of Christmas, after all the joy and after all the merriment, to come to the simple and profound realization about what it is all about, God taking on flesh and coming into the world to save us sinners. This is a profound yet simple truth of the gospel, and I pray that we come to this realization every day throughout the year in our hearts. We have heard three readings for today, and perhaps most famously and most significantly is the Gospel of St. Matthew, when we think about the visit of the three kings. The gospel tells us that the wise men come from the east to see Jesus in order to pay him homage. They find the Christ child lying in the manger because they follow a star. On their journey to see Jesus, they stop and see King Herod. Herod is an interesting figure in this story. Herod's concern is to hold on to power at all costs, and he sees that baby lying in a manger as a threat. Herod has been brought the good news by the wise men, the gospel. They tell him that the child that has been born is the Messiah, yet Herod chooses to ignore this epiphany that has been brought right to his doorstep, and rather he seeks to kill the child, to hold on to power, to hold on to the things of this world. This should cause us to look at our own lives and ourselves. What are we holding on to? What is our response to the gospel, to the revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord? How do we respond to the good news? Do we embrace it and let it grow in our hearts, or do we respond like Herod and cast it away for the status quo, for the things of this world? The wise men then leave Herod after learning that the child is to be born in Bethlehem. They go following the star, and they come to lay their eyes on that baby. And when they see the child, the scripture tells us that they felt a sense of great joy. They are overwhelmed, the Bible tells us. The three men then enter the place where Jesus is, and they kneel down and pay him homage, and they bring him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts are important because they alert us to the fact of who Jesus is. He is King and Savior. They bring him gold, which shows that he is King. They bring him frankincense, that religious symbol which shows us he is God. And lastly, they bring him myrrh, anointing oil for the dead. After all, Christmas is just the beginning of the story. We all know what Jesus came to do. He came to die on the cross and 3 days later rise again. After they pay him homage, they are warned in a dream not to return to Herod, so they go where they have come from, by another route. This is a very nice story from the Gospel of Matthew that we hear year after year in the church, but it still begs the question, what does it all mean? If we look at the story closely, it paints a very interesting picture for us as Christians living today in the 21st century. One way to do this is to ask the question, who are these wise men? Because they are not nobodies, even though they disappear from the biblical text. They are rich and they have stature, we can tell, because they can afford expensive gifts, and Herod receives them as dignitaries and guests. They were Gentiles, perhaps the most important detail. They were not Jews, and yet they realized that through Jesus, salvation was for them as well. Through Christ, salvation is brought for all the people of the world. When we look at the wise men following a star coming to see Jesus, they have a very personal, sudden, and striking realization of who Christ is. They have an epiphany, a personal one and a corporate one. That is important to remember throughout the church. They realized that Christ is the light of the world and that he came for all people and that he shines in the darkness, represented by Herod in this story, and that the darkness cannot overcome the light, no matter what it tries to do. And when they come to this realization about Christ, it brings them great joy. The wise men had an epiphany about who Christ is and what he has come to do in the world. They had this striking realization, and it brought them joy, joy to their hearts, so much joy they are speechless. Although today as the church we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany, I'm sure that many of us can think of moments in our own lives where we have had our own epiphanies about Christ, who he is and what he has come to do in this world and in our lives. After all, many of us would not be here in church if we had not had this kind of moment. And even if this happens in a very dark place in our lives, we still find joy in the light of who Christ is. Even if you find yourself in a very dark place, look for the joy of Christ, because it is there. That is the truth of the gospel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. I'm not a big partier, so I didn't go out for New Year's Eve this past year, but I was watching all those, you know, specials on TV that they have. And I was also on Facebook and Twitter just scrolling around, and it seemed to me that many people came to have their own epiphany that we were ending a decade and starting a new one. It's like this shocked people that we were no longer in the teens, but we're entering the 20s. And as it is on New Year's, many people were looking back at the year that had passed and looking forward with hope to the year that was to come. But since it was the verge of a new decade, many people were looking on the decade that had passed and the decade that is to come. One thing I saw, this is just an aside, you know, I was born in 1991. We're just as close to 2050 as we are to 1990, so I'll be an old man soon enough. But that is beside the point. But one thing I did realize, people looking past over the past decade, was that they seemed to remember the bad things. There was a few people who said, oh, I started this decade graduating high school and I got a degree and a job and all of this stuff. So a few people did that, but the majority of people had some not so nice things that they were remembering over the past decade. They put things like, when I started the last decade, my parents were both alive. They've both now passed away. Or a very common one, I wasn't married in 2010, ... or divorced, now that the new decade has started. And so some rather negative things like this, all these negative things. And I thought, why are people remembering this past decade in this way? What is going on in our world that people need to know? What is the church's role in all of this? Because we too, as the church, are starting a new decade. We are starting a new decade, and what do we look forward to with hope? What do we look back on? As I told the 9 a.m. congregation this morning, the church in 10 years, 2030, is going to look very different than it does now. Maybe not the Church of the Ascension. We've had a very good year here, which you will hear about at Vestry in a few weeks. We will probably keep rolling along, but the national church as a whole, and not just the Anglican Church, the whole church is going to look very different in a decade's time. And so what do we have to offer to this world that is hurting, this world that is uncertain, as you may have seen in the news over the past few days? What is it that we as the church have to offer people who see so much darkness in their lives? Well, simply, we have the light of Christ to offer. We have that profound truth that we learn on the Feast of the Epiphany, that Christ is the light of the world, and he is the light for all people, and that the darkness cannot overcome it. Christ is the light, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So whatever happens in people's lives, their personal lives, our corporate life together as a society, that's what we as the church have to offer, that Jesus is the light of the world and that the darkness cannot overcome it. And so as we as the church look forward to a new decade with hope and aspiration in our hearts, like so many people, we must take that forward, that light into the world, like so many Christians have over the decades for millennia. That message, that light of Christ, knowing in our hearts the truth that there is darkness in the world, but that Christ is the light, and that darkness cannot overcome it. That sounds simple, but it is the profound truth of the gospel, and we as the church must evermore hold close to that truth as we go forward in the decades ahead. Amen.